inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I've got a really incredible story for you on the podcast today. My guest started buying really cheap rental properties. Now, normally when I think of a really cheap rental, I think it's probably not going to be in the greatest neighborhood. But my guest actually found these really cheap properties in a really good neighborhood. And because they were so cheap, he was able to buy them with cash. And so they cash flowed really well. And eventually he had enough of these rental properties that he was able to live off them. So today he lives 100% off the rental properties, but he still works full time. So he's able to save his entire paycheck. And he puts that money into buying more investments and to continue to grow his portfolio. It's a really incredible story. So on the show today, we're going to find out exactly how he did it. We're going to figure out how he got the money to get started and talk about what he's doing. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Matt Lenza from Media Pennsylvania.
It can be a real challenge to stay organized and keep track of all your rental income and expenses for tax time. Most people end up with a pile of receipts that you need to sort through and make sense of. I want to let you know about an easier way. It's a software that I use called Rental Hero. It was built specifically for rental property owners. They have a really easy-to-use web portal as well as an app where you can easily input all your income and expenses. You can take pictures of receipts, and you're done with the paper receipts for good. They have a free 30-day trial. You can try it out. No credit card required. If you don't like it, there's nothing to cancel. Just go to rentaltrial.com. That's rentaltrial, T-R-I-A-L.
The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. So let me make sure I have this right. So today you cover all of your living expenses with your rentals, and you save all of the money from your day job. Is that right?
I mean, that's basically how I would put it. So yeah, all my properties cover, you know, we call it passive income. Or, you know, horizontal income.
Yeah.
But yes, that covers pretty much everything I needed to cover. And then day job is, it's a dirty word in my opinion, but it's, from real estate sales, helping others. Yes. That is all additional money that I then use for investing or other opportunities. You know, not really needed for me to live is kind of how I would phrase it.
Well done. So I want to figure out how you did this. So why don't we start with you telling us what your portfolio looks like today, and then we'll kind of take a step back and talk about how you did it.
Yep.
Great.
So today, the last couple of years, I've been a little slower acquiring properties, but I am at 22 properties. My very first property, which got me into the game back in 2007, was basically a larger house in North Wilmington, very close to Philadelphia. And I started with roommates. So house hacking back before technically house hacking was a term. And, you know, big saver. So then as far as my portfolio, then I picked up a duplex and then another condo, or my first condo at that time. And that's kind of what how it progressed.
I mean,
it wasn't really a plan. So then I picked up more condos. Another duplex here and there, some single families, and that was it. So I'm at 22 properties now. The two duplexes are in there. A lot of condos, single family homes, the house hack, and that's essentially it.
Yeah. So were you able to live for free basically with that house hack?
Eventually, yes. So on day one, and I actually have my spreadsheet, I could look. They were like $600 or $650 a piece. And then we all chipped in for utilities. But, I think my mortgage is probably around, I want to say $1,500. Uh-huh. I was only really living for $300 as far as what I had to contribute to my mortgage. And then, you know, we got another roommate. And fast forward, I forget what year it was, but there was a manager at Boeing that basically said, you know, someone's coming end of the week. They don't have a place. Do you have a room? And at that time, we didn't really have a room. We just had the finished basement. And I said, well, yeah, I guess he could stay there temporarily, you know, if he wants to, and then move into a room when someone moves out. And that's what happened. So, I mean, when you have that many roommates, I was already making money on the house.
Yeah. And then you were also then able to save money because you're not paying rent somewhere. You're able to split the utilities. And it correct me if I'm wrong, but you seem like a pretty frugal person by nature, right?
Yeah, yes. Okay. I mean, I am middle class family. You know, I'm not one to buy a new car or do things like that. So I bought a car, I want to say sophomore year of college. And I actually just gave it away to my plumber. Well, he helped me do some work for it and get it, but that was last year. Okay. So I had that car for an extremely long time, and I've had others. But yes, to answer your question bluntly, Dan, yes, I'm, okay. I'm very conservative and frugal, and yep, that's in my nature.
Okay. All right, so I think that really worked to your advantage because you were able to save a lot of money, and then that helped you buy your next property. So tell me about the duplex you bought.
Oh, so the duplex I bought, and that one I did actually buy with a mortgage. At the time, I want to say it was right around 130, and that's what I did. So I got that one, clearly was able to clean up the first unit downstairs that was vacant pretty quickly and get it rented. And then I learned the hard way what an eviction process was to get rid of the tenant upstairs. But yeah, I still have that property today.
Okay. And then after that property, then you kind of, I guess, discovered the really cheap condos that you've been buying since then?
Yeah. I mean, I discovered, but also too, my strategy then was just simply to save up money and buy a house, an investment property. So the condos definitely are cheaper. So at that time, it was, you know, in the ballpark of $40,000, $50,000, and certainly took some time to save that up. But that was my game plan. Okay. And I mean, I like how it worked out now, only because with some of them, you know, people say the condo fees are high. If you figure out your math, though, it's not a big deal. And if you get a good deal, then, you know, you can make anything work if you buy it for the right price.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit, because like when I've looked at condo deals, they've just never made sense because if you're paying a $300 or $400 a month condo fee. So is that kind of the range of the condo fees that you're buying, like $300 or $400 a month?
Nothing's at $400 yet. Okay. But just to give you the breakdown, I own quite a few one bedroom units in Hilltop, which is part of Brookhaven. And they're great. 625 square feet, very easy to remodel, decent layout. They have a pool and it's a really nice community and very close to some shops. I'm going to give this a little plug. You know, whenever a Starbucks comes into the area, they do their homework too. And I'm sure you've heard it before.
Sure.
Well, guess what? I want to say maybe 2 years ago, they got a Starbucks. So it really is, you know, on the up and up, that area. Yeah. Not that it was ever bad. And now I can't buy those condos for as cheap as I got them. Nowhere close. But like I said, I got them for around 40. And if you want to break down the numbers...
Yeah.
You know, all in for 40, call it 44, you know, if you buy them cash, just, you know, 10% add it to it. And I probably put about, I did all the work, probably $8,000 to $10,000 in. So call it 55. And then fast forward to today, I mean, I can rent them out for about $1,250, some of them $1,300 on a monthly. So take away the $155 monthly fee there for a one bedroom. And take away, you know, my taxes, my insurance, I can still bring in $1,000 a month.
Wow. That is really incredible. And it sounds like it's a good neighborhood. I mean, you got a Starbucks nearby. So like,
well, at a Lowe's, but yes, yeah. It is a very good neighborhood. I fell into it because when I was looking at the time, that area had some of the, you know, the cheaper priced homes that when I saved up a decent chunk, I could go after some of them.
Right, right. That is really, really great. All right. So you bought four condos. you had your duplex, and then you were living for free still in the house hack. And then you kind of figured out, well, what am I doing working? Like the rents
well,
are.
I remember it. Yeah. I remember it vividly, though. No, I had actually had a dinner with some friends. We tried to get together every couple months. And two of them still worked at Boeing. And they probably asked me several months before, like, are you going to keep doing this? And I said, nah, you know, eventually I'm going to get out of it. And, you know, to answer your question the roundabout way, at that time when I was leaving Boeing, there was three houses that I put offers in. And my strategy back then, and it's still the same if I have time, was more or less the shotgun offers. You know, just put quite a few in, see what sticks, because I was a realtor at that time. And you know what? Three of them said okay. Now, two of them were really sticky, and one had a tenant in place. So there was a good chance I was going to get none of them. Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much the month I left Boeing, and within a month later, all three of them settled. So All the money I had saved up was basically gone. So That was... That was kind of a scary part. But again, I always looked at it as if I had to sell them, I got them for such decent deals, I could do nothing and turn around and sell them and make money, just like a wholesaler. Not that I, you know, am one of them myself, But that's, you know, that was my mindset. I knew I would be okay.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right. So now you've got seven of these condos. So you've got $7,000 a month plus, and you're still living in the house hack. At this point?
No. So around, I want to say, no, my, to be fair, it was me too, but my wife was living in the house hack with me. And it's not the easiest to live with the number of people and keeping things clean. So 2011, I want to say going into 2012, no, we bought a house not far away.
Okay.
Just a single family house. And so I wasn't part of the quote unquote house hack living there, but I still had a lot of friends that were my friends that I lived with. So that continued on for a while. I still went over there a lot, maintained the property. I have an additional garage there. So I was still connected to it, but not living there.
And it's got to be really profitable at this point too, because you're not living there. So you have that extra room you can rent out.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. So originally, the way I look at things, I was like, oh, we got to buy a house and, you know, I'm not going to be able to live cheaply anymore. But what I was able to rent my master bedroom out for, and then my wife and I were splitting, you know, the new house, it was almost a wash.
Wow.
So I was silly. I mean, I should have done it sooner, to be honest, but it's my mentality. When you're doing something good, you know, you kind of keep doing it.
Right. Now, something pretty cool happened right at the same time that you had a real estate license, but you weren't really thinking this was going to be a career. You were just kind of selling houses to friends and family, but your real estate business started picking up, right?
It did, very, very organically. Honestly, that was the main reason I became a realtor, just so I could put in offers myself, not miss out on houses when they hit the market, because that did happen a lot, especially after the crash. And, you know, one too many mistakes by another realtor, and, you know, they're busy, and I get it. They don't want to work for, you know, a $40,000 house, and their commission on that is peanuts. But that was great motivation for me. I was going to Villanova at the time for my MBA. And had some free time, and that's it. You know, just became a realtor. And you're right, it grew friends mostly, family, you know, some investor clients because they knew what I was doing. And it really took off from there.
Wow. So then is that how you've been able to continue to grow your portfolio? Because you had this extra income from selling houses, and then you just kind of piled that into buying more condos?
Well, yes, that definitely helps. Kids are expensive. I have three of them. Schooling's expensive. You know, everything we do for them adds up. But yeah, basically everything I have for my properties will, you know, more or less cover that. And then, like we said earlier, everything from helping other clients out, well, you know, that's the money I then have to pour back into investing.
Yeah.
You know, one way or another, I'm just going to call it investing, whether it's buying houses or loan, you know, lending some money.
Sure.
It's Yeah, it wasn't a plan though.
Yeah.
Dan, it really wasn't. It just kind of happened.
That is really
naturally.
Great.
And, you know, I'm glad it did.
You know, it's really amazing that you were able to find condos for such a cheap price in such a major city.
Well, hang on. We're outside Philadelphia.
Okay.
So Media or Brookhaven to Center City is probably 20 minutes.
Okay.
Still close enough where it counts. But no, when I was buying, just to put things into perspective, when I was buying some of them for 40, they should have sold for, you know, 55 or 60.
Okay.
You know, it was just getting some really good deals. And that may not seem like a big difference price point wise, but percentage wise, that's huge.
Oh, yeah.
And same thing now, some of those one bedroom condos now, they're all worth over 100, you know, 105, right. I would say. So just keeping it into perspective, it was in my wheelhouse and I, you know, I lucked out.
Yeah. Now, what about managing the properties? Are you managing them yourself today?
Yeah, that's a sore spot with me. Yes. Unfortunately, as of right now, I am still managing them. There is one company that's been recommended to me, and I may go down that path. But for the team and for everything else I do for my personal business, I just brought somebody on that, you know, that's going to be their full-time job. So we're going to see how many hats she can wear at once.
Yeah.
I think she's up for it. But yes, I know I know how hard it is to manage your own properties, especially as, you know, the number of properties keeps growing. You know, it's just things happen all the time.
Sure.
And I really try to streamline it from day one as far as showing a property, video tours of properties, and just keeping it simple and, you know, setting the standard that certain things, not to sound mean here, but, you know, I'm running a business. Certain things you can't do. Mm-hmm. And,
right.
You know, I've gotten calls before that my toilet was clogged. And I'm like, okay, well, when you rented from me on day one, was the toilet clogged?
Right.
Like, no,
right.
Like, you clogged the toilet. Like, right. Please don't call me. And I mean, I'm pretty blunt at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, just don't bother me with stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
And they learn. But yeah, it's something I don't want to continue doing.
Yeah.
But I am doing it as of right now.
And then what about repairs? Like, do you have handymen that you call, or are you doing some of the work yourself?
So I've been very fortunate. I've learned a lot of work growing up myself. My uncle and my father owned a flooring business. Being an engineer, I've always been hands-on. I mean, with the internet and YouTube, I mean, I tell clients all the time, you can figure out almost anything. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy,
right.
You know. But nah, there's places I've redone completely myself, especially the duplex, where the only thing I didn't do was, you know, hook up the electrical into the actual panel and put the roof on. But everything else inside that house, I did myself. So that is silly and a complete waste of time in hindsight. But you do appreciate, you know, how to do things. And then, as many people have said before me, you really know when a contractor's BSing you. I'll tell them point blank. I'll walk through some places now and just do a video like, hey, you need to do this, 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 you know, pecs from here to here, and send them the video. And the ones I'm still working with, they'll send me a quote. If it's reasonable, here you go. Other people just charge way too much, in my personal opinion, for what, you know, what I want them to do.
Right. Now, the other thing that you're doing is, I think is really kind of cool, is you've kind of created a synergy between your tenants, and you've been able to turn some of your tenants into buyers. So if that tenant's going to move out, you're able to get a commission by selling them a house. How did you do that? Like, how do you kind of position yourself in their head as a realtor that they need to call?
Oh, well, I mean, it starts from day one. And again, this wasn't a plan. It wasn't something that I, you know, thought up and I'm like, hey, this is another way that I could make money. It really wasn't that. It was going back to my original house hack. We had somebody move in. I'm going to say, yeah, she's from Britain. And guess what? She met somebody in the house and they ended up getting married. So while they were leaving the house, they came to me and they knew I was a realtor and they basically said, can you help us find a condo? And that is kind of where it started. They were the first ones. They, you know, they bought a condo in a development where I know everything about it. I own some properties there and they were happy as can be. And they actually, cool story, they even followed in my footsteps. They lived together and had a roommate. And even today, they left that house and they're renting it out, and they bought a much bigger house and they have a roommate. So it's just kind of cool to kind of, you know, spread the knowledge.
Yeah.
But that's how it started. And since then, even when I meet people for the first time, you know, I kind of direct them to my webpage, and they know I'm a realtor. So they know it's a property under me. They know they're going to be dealing most of the time with just me. And then I let them know in the lease, because it normally comes up.
Yeah.
I say, are you going to be here a year, 2 years? And then I say, well, what are you going to do after you leave? Have you considered buying a house? In the nicest way possible, not to sell them a house.
Right.
Because I know how much they're paying for rent. And most of my properties, you know, they're near the top of the market because they're really nice the way they're finished. And they really should be considering buying a house.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, some of them I put into the lease, you know, will be somewhat flexible when you're leaving, as long as I'm your agent, because then I can coordinate your exit date for my property with a new tenant moving in, and we can coordinate the settlement of your new property.
That is really smart. That I
love
that. Well,
it happened kind of, you know, by chance, but everything's kind of a domino effect with the original house hack. You know, people that are willing to basically share rooms and then, you know, maybe rent another place and maybe buy a place. You know, as silly as it sounds, it's kind of like a feeder pack, a feeder program.
Totally.
It just happens naturally.
Yeah. If you're looking to invest in the Media, Pennsylvania area, definitely reach out to Matt. I think he would be a great resource for you. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 256. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, definitely reach out to Chaley. She's a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. What I love about Chaley is that she's actually an investor herself, so she can help you figure things out, help you navigate things, and get you into the best loan possible. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.